may shouldn't blow my cover, but I often sit up in a tree and look down on people. Not just literally, metaphorically too. Meaning that, yes, I judge them from my high-altitude secret perch. In fact, I can see you right now, and I'm totally judging you. Because I'm up here in this... Whoop, whoop,
whoop. You know, pride goeth before a fall, Todd. Duh. Man. Hey, folks, I just want to say that announcement has nothing to do with the show. So just bracket it and throw it away. We're going to talk about some very important things right now. We're going to talk about the economy. We're going to talk about the culture. We're going to talk with our friend David Bahnsen. He's the author of a book, Crisis of Responsibility, Our Cultural Addiction to Blame and How You Can Cure It. David, we've had you on here before to talk about the book, but for those who missed that, give us, if you would, a synopsis of that subtitle. When you say Our Cultural Addiction to Blame, How You Can Cure It. And by the way, I forgot to mention, you're managing partner of the Bahnsen Group of Hightower Advisors. You manage a lot of capital. You're a guest on CNBC, Fox Business, and you're a financial advisor, one of the top ones in the country. I don't need financial advice, but I need you to explain to me what you mean by that. Crisis of responsibility or addiction to blame and how we can cure it. Let's start there.
Yeah, so the whole financial context of my career kind of is the background to where the book came from, and it was the financial crisis. I was managing director at Morgan Stanley at the time and have since left and started my own firm. But basically, the optics I had into the financial crisis were very personal, biographical, but also professional. It was what I did for a living, and I happened to be involved at a high level with a firm that was deep in the midst of it all. And coming out of that financial crisis event of our society, which I truly believe, aside from or perhaps along with 9/11, represent the kind of two key events that this whole generation will forever be remembered by. And I think we're dealing still today with the aftermath of that crisis in a lot of profound ways, economically, financially, and culturally, frankly. But the issue you ask about, the subtitle of the book, Cultural Addiction to Blame, is a byproduct of the fact that I am very convinced that there was an awful lot of blame to go around in the financial crisis. The bad actors on Wall Street, the bad government policy, but a Main Street that was caught up in a decades-long game of keep up with the Joneses. There were certain irresponsible or reckless actors taking on debt they couldn't afford. And there were certain just really explicitly immoral actors, people of vast means capable of making their house payment that chose to walk away instead. And
so this is in effect, we're talking about the cultural normalization of greed, are we not?
Cultural normalization of greed. And I would say that's symptomatic of the culturally symptomatic of irresponsibility.
Okay, but both of us are Christians, and I think that we're living in a culture now that has, in fact, normalized certain behaviors that in the past, even if you were not explicitly Christian, culturally, we looked down our noses at people who were greedy. We had a high view of things like virtue, dignity, duty. Those things seem in the last, let's say, 50 years to have evaporated somewhat, so that it's sort of, what can I do? What can I get away with? And if it's legal for me to walk away from something and leave everybody else to clean it up, if the taxpayers have to clean it up, well, it's legal, so it's okay.
Yeah, I made the comment recently. If I said to you, and even people who don't profess the same Christian faith that you and I profess, if I just said to someone, what do you think about walking into a bank with a gun and kind of just robbing it, getting some money from them? I literally don't know a person, Christian, non-Christian, liberal, Democrat, conservative, whatever, anyone who would justify that. They'd all say, come on, it's awful. And not just because it's probably you're going to get caught. Like, I think most people get caught. I don't know for sure. That's my understanding. But immoral, we would consider it immoral. And yet if I said, you owe the bank money, they gave you money, you have the means to pay them back, it may even be a little bit of a struggle, but you have the bank's money and you're just going to choose to not pay it back. I don't, almost nobody in society was willing to call that wrong. There were people, small fraction, but there were people that were literally destitute, unable to make payment. That's what collateral's for, things like that. But there was this massive percentage of people, and that's what so much of the book is about, that as a matter of moral and cultural failing, decided to walk away.
Okay, and but this is because, I mean, to contrast it clearly, let's look at the folks during the Depression, right? Mm. During the Depression, there was something built into the cultural DNA about values, about not taking a handout unless I need to, about working hard, about having my dignity. Those things went away, I would say, when the government steps in and gives you the impression that they will step in if you need it, right? In other words, that's a good thing about government to an extent, but it can encourage people to think along the lines that, well, I don't need to kill myself to get what I need. I can get it from the people who have it. The people who have it, which is to say the government or rich people or banks, they kind of owe it to me. In other words, that thinking begins to get some purchase in the culture. And then you have something which is fundamentally un-American, which is the idea that the government is them. They have money. And I'm just me. And so I can get something from them, because the principal idea, the founding of this country, is this idea that I am the government. We, the people, are the government. So I can't steal from myself. But once you think that there's a them, that there's a big rich government and big rich banks, and then what I do, it doesn't really matter. I'm not robbing for myself or my neighbor. I'm robbing from some faceless, vast, wealthy entity that kind of has it coming.
Well, and we actually seem to be encouraging that more, that thinking more and more in society, not just with the government and their vast, large, deep pockets, but of course with corporate America. It's continually upheld that when you're robbing from a one percenter, or when there's money taken from a big company, or when the government comes in as your ally to take money on your behalf from a big company, which is becoming more and more common through regulation and other aspects of big government, that those things are all okay. But when you made the comment a moment ago about over the last 50 years, that's the part that's so intriguing. I argue in the book that in 1991, so it was 17 years before the financial crisis, 1991, we had a savings and loan crisis. We did not have the same depth of collapse in housing that we did in 08, but it was the most severe we had had since the Depression. We had 0.01% of people walk away from their homes. We had a significant amount of people who were underwater, half of what was underwater during 08, largely because of the next 15 years of lending without adequate equity and all kinds of more irresponsible financial acting. But my point is, Eric, that we literally had 1,000% increase in the amount of people that were not only willing to walk away from that obligation, walk away from that mentality that existed in the Depression and so forth, but were able to brag about it. And I think that that's one of the things. I'm very fond of Charles Murray's edict in Coming Apart. We need more people to preach what they practice, because I not only found the actions of so many during the 08 financial crisis deeply problematic, but the response of the society was not to call them out. It was to vindicate them. It was almost to sort of praise them as victims when we knew that not to be the case.
Well, again, I mean, this is one of the reasons I'm politically conservative. It's not the only reason, but there are many things at play. One of them is this idea of class division. That's a fundamentally un-American, destructive way of thinking. And when you start positing, it's a sliding scale of morality. If I steal from my neighbor, maybe that's not right. But if I steal from the guy in the mansion down the street whom I've never seen, who is so wealthy, and by the way, his kids hate him, it doesn't matter. In other words, stealing is no longer stealing. It's all relative. And I think that that's what class division does. You say, well, I'm poor, you're rich, so if I take from you, it's not stealing. And if you're even richer and you're faceless, it's definitely not stealing. No one will notice it. These are fundamental values that hold together a great republic like the United States of America. And when those values go away, we cease to be able to be free. We're going to go to break. Folks, talking to David Bahnsen. The book is Crisis of Responsibility. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Our love is like a ship on the ocean. Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Don't let the credit card companies bully you anymore. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt, and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Get off the debt treadmill and stop the harassment. Get free of credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and medical bills. Call now at 866-844-7344 for free information. For about 10 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, too. Get off the endless cycle without having to declare bankruptcy. You'll have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Call Total Financial now at 866-844-7344. That's 866-844-7344.
Pat Boone here again, and I assure you, I have never before endorsed a pain relief product. Not until now. Not until Relief Factor came along as a 100% drug-free solution for people struggling with ordinary pain. Quite simply, Relief Factor was designed by doctors to help relieve those occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, and everyday living. Let me ask you, are aches and pains keeping you from sleeping through the night? Or keeping you from taking those nice long walks or playing golf or tennis? You can't really call it living if you can't get around comfortably. The 3-week quick start from Relief Factor may be all you need to lower or even eliminate these pains. A whole lot of people have already gone to ReliefFactor.com, and here's something you need to know. The majority of people who order the 3-week quick start, now only $19.95, go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to ReliefFactor.com.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. Gift giving occurs year-round, whether for birthdays, holidays, or a special expression of thanks to your best clients and customers. Of course you want to show your love and gratitude, but you also want to give a gift that provides a positive image of you and your organization. Solaire infrared grills from BestHotGrill.com are both practical and unforgettable. Made in the USA, Solaire has a grill for most budgets, but more importantly, Solaire delivers the wow that everybody likes to receive in a gift. Impressive out of the box, and even more so in use, the Solaire infrared grills are the gift of value that will build relationships. With every great tasting, juicy meal enjoyed from their Solaire, they'll think of you. Step up your gift giving. Learn more about the amazing Solaire infrared grills at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com. Besthotgrill.com.
The way you get your medicine prescriptions is now changing across America. GoGoMeds.com can deliver your medicine right to your door. Here's all you need to do. Your doctor gives you the prescription. You go online to GoGoMeds.com, put in your information, and make sure to include the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. Your meds are then delivered to your home, and you've saved money. It's that easy. No more waiting, no lines, no copay each month, and best of all, no wandering around the store aimlessly waiting for your prescription to be filled. GoGoMeds.com, the new way to get your medicine delivered right to your door. Remember that getting your prescription filled now means never having to go to a store again. GoGoMeds.com. GoGoMeds.com. Use the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. That's GoGoMeds.com. Promo code MIKE2018.
Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking about everything. I'm talking to David Bahnsen, who's the author of Crisis of Responsibility, Our Cultural Addiction to Blame, and How You Can Cure It. David, you have so many credentials that I'm inclined just to skip them. You're everywhere. You've done so many wonderful things. You're a regular contributor to the National Review, to World Magazine. You're on the board of directors of the King's College right here in New York City, which is how I got to know you. You've done many, many things, and you are
well qualified to be discussing this on this program. I am not well qualified, but that's why I have guests like you. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, I think we were talking about, I was talking about class division and the us versus them. There is something fundamentally wrong. I was going to say un-American, but it's just wrong. It's a bad way of thinking. It's bad theology. It's to say that if I steal from you, you got a lot of money, so that's not really stealing. If I steal from somebody who doesn't have money, and you think, whatever happened to dignity, the idea that I'm against stealing, I have values that transcend outcomes, whether I'm caught, that's part of it. We're talking ultimately about the loss of virtue, are we not?
We are, and it's interesting. I don't get to actually make theological arguments often enough in media, but Eric, the 10th commandment, it's sort of the climax, right, to these Ten Commandments that we go through, all the ones everybody likes. They seem to like the don't murder, or maybe we don't like that one enough either, but the defense of marriage, not committing adultery. You get to the Tenth Commandment, I don't ever hear pastors talk about it. I don't ever hear it conversed about, even within Christendom. And yet what you're describing is a consequence to a society that has allowed covetousness to take hold.
I don't remember the order of the Ten Commandments. Which one is the tenth?
Thou shalt not covet.
Covet. Okay. That right there is a commandment. You just said it. It's a commandment.
A commandment.
Now imagine God Almighty commands us. It's not to not steal. It's to not covet.
And so when you're talking about this kind of Robin Hood ethic that's taken over so much of society, the class envy, it's rooted in Marxian thought, and it's at the core of what leftist progressivism is doing in our own country now. But the fact of the matter is, it first starts as a heart condition. It starts as covetousness. It's not just taking something that doesn't belong to you. It's wanting it because somebody else has it. And that was very much at the heart of the financial crisis. People were very content in their homes. They had, in certain situations, nice, comfortable homes. But once the neighbor started upgrading, as he was rolling his equity into the next home and the next flip and so forth and so on, and that's what it was happening on Wall Street, too. And I write about that in the book, a kind of tale of two streets. You had the folks at Lehman acting in response to what their Wall Street competitors were doing, covetousness, excessive leverage. It was the same thing happening on Main Street, just less commas and less zeros, but people believing that they had to have something because someone else had it. That covetousness strikes morally at the heart of the class envy we're dealing with now. And the problem is, I don't think we have educated folks in the church, folks in the society, in our schools, economically or morally, to understand why it is not okay to steal from rich people any more than it is from others.
Well, look, it's sad to say that the Democratic Party has drifted so far from where they were even 20 years ago, much less 40 or 50 years ago, to where they are the party effectively of redistribution of wealth and socialism. I mean, I never thought that it would be so explicit, but we're now dealing with people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and others, Bernie Sanders, who seem to be preaching this kind of thinking. They haven't even it's not like they're appealing to anything from the past. They're just assuming that this is the way to go forward. I don't even have to make the case. Everybody knows that we want you to get more stuff. There's people who have stuff. We'll take it from them. I mean, it's a fundamental assumption.
And politically, they're doing something even more dangerous, I think, because Bernie Sanders is kind of a true believer, right? He's been a real socialist for a long time. I think Cortez was 19 years old when Obama, President Obama and Mitt Romney were running against each other. So I don't know where she was. But you look at a guy like Cory Booker, a senator in New Jersey next door to us here. He's absolutely talking like this far progressive leftist socialist now. I remember him distinctly standing up to defend Mitt Romney about private equity and about the role of enterprise and capitalism that was intending to better situations for shareholders, investors, employees, and so forth. Now they're pulling their whole center to the left with them, and I think it's very dangerous.
Well, let me just ask this, the first question. Are they not simply political prostitutes? I mean, how else do you see it? If you're saying one thing a few years ago, and then because the wind shifts, you say something else, how is anybody supposed to take you seriously?
I would agree. I would be very, very wary of anyone on either side of the aisle doing that. Yeah.
Well, obviously. I mean, I haven't seen many people on the conservative side do that along those lines? In other words, where would you see people on the GOP side guilty of this?
I think that we in maybe softening our talk around need for entitlement reform, for spending discipline. The Tea Party was born out of excessive government spending, and we seem to have lost
that voice.
Okay,
you brought me to something. I wanted to ask you about the debt, the national debt. Trump was a businessman. He has to understand this. He has not talked about this very much. I guess I shouldn't be too surprised because there's been so much else to talk about. But it does strike me as troubling that he has not talked about it more than he has. Where do you think we're going with our national debt?
You know, it's funny when you say that Trump was a businessman and therefore you would think he'd really know about it. It's possible, unfortunately, this is not criticism of Trump. I'm being kind of like analytical biographically. It's possible his experience as a businessman would lend itself to him being a little less fearful of the debt because he himself spent most of his professional life on the edge of excessive debt and leverage. And I do pray that if President Trump gets a second term, his sort of see no evil, hear no evil policy about entitlements will change. I can understand politically thinking I got to get through a first term. The country cannot have him go through a second term without talking about Medicare and Social Security. We do have this is what I say to those on the right that fearmonger about it, that the whole country is just going to wash away. We can't afford it. It's $70 trillion. We actually know what to do with like a calculator and Microsoft Excel. We can turn knobs, you know, and kind of fix it. That Erskine Bowles Commission that Obama put together, Paul Ryan has had plans over the years. They each have different ways you got to have to maneuver. We can fix it, but there's no political will to fix it. And so when you talk about national debt, it kind of starts with the transfer payments, which what I mean by that is the entitlement, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and now, of course, the Obamacare. That's 51% of federal spending.
Do you suppose 51%?
So you have a group that gets real critical of military spending. It's not even 15%. Even those of us, and I assume you're probably included, worry about the interest on the national debt. It's still only 8%. Granted, that's in a very low rate environment. But no, we have – there's one – the discretionary spending is so small as a percentage of 3.9
trillion. So what is most of our – what is most of our
there's only one knob you can turn to move the needle. It's what I call transfer payments. It is what we're spending to move money from one to another through Social Security, Medicare, and then the funding to states with Medicaid. That's it.
So it's like we've become a European socialist country.
Or working our way there, yeah. They're over 70%. We're at 51.
Well, let me ask you, you know, we're talking about this level of debt. Do you suppose, I guess I do, that in the back of his mind, Trump is thinking that the roaring economy, kind of like in the 90s, will take care of some of this? What do you think?
I think he does think that. I think he has some natural supply side instincts. And I think he's right that if we're able to get that sustained growth. I had dinner with Ben Bernanke recently, and he made the comment that right now we're getting the sugar high of the demand side benefits of tax reform, and some like it and some don't. And that's fine. But he even admitted there is long-term supply side benefit in this corporate tax reform that's very real. And I agree with him. I think you need real GDP growth above 3% for a sustained period of time. And where I am so supportive of what the president did there and believe in this deregulation, lower tax environment, I think he gets all of that instinctively. And if we end up, and this is a huge if we end up getting a trade deal with China and remove that headwind, but I think ultimately if we're going to have a sustained global trade commotion, that could very much undermine his own economic recovery.
Wow. Well, since we're name dropping economically, I can say I had drinks with Art Laffer the other day, and he said that you're absolutely right. Folks, we're talking to David Bahnsen. Crisis of Responsibility is the book, the subtitle, Our Cultural Addiction to Blame and How You Can Cure It. We'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Nancy Pelosi has been chosen by House Democrats to lead them in the new Congress. She still faces a showdown vote for House Speaker when lawmakers convene in January. Pelosi ran unopposed as a nominee for Speaker in a closed-door Democratic caucus election today, despite some unrest from those clamoring for new leadership within her party. Ex-Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort's lawyer has been briefing President Trump's attorneys on what their client has told investigators. Meanwhile, Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani said this week the president has been enraged by the treatment of Manafort, who has denied lying to Mueller's agents in the ongoing probe. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell cast a bright picture on the U.S. economy today. He even appeared to suggest the Fed might consider a pause in its interest rate hikes next year to assess the impact of its credit tightening measures on Wall Street. The Dow is up by 544 points. This is SRN News.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know. The credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-942-4730. 800-942-4730. That's 800-942-4730.
Freedom. One nation in all of human history was built on that bedrock. Ours. A republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Self-government requires freedom, just as freedom requires an individual willingness to self-govern. Freedom has made America exceptional, but it can only last as long as you and I seek the good, as expressed by the laws of nature and nature's God. It can only last if you and I choose to act as people of character. Forging character has been the pursuit of Hillsdale College since 1844. Hillsdale College forges character and elevates civic discourse both on campus and nationwide. To find out how you can take their free online courses or receive a complimentary subscription to Imprimis, a monthly speech digest, visit hillsdalefreedom.com. That's hillsdalefreedom.com.
Why does it never light on my lawn? Why does it rain and never say good day to the newborn? On the big screen they showed us the sun, but not as bright in life as the real one. It's never quite the same as the real one.
This is the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to David Bahnsen. He's the author of Crisis of Responsibility, Our Cultural Addiction to Blame and How You Can Cure It. We're talking about a lot of things, David, but you just mentioned that it might be good to talk about this concept of how folks on the left claim that the roaring economy we have now is thanks to Obama. I reflexively laugh at that because it seems to me so crazy. There's truth in every lie, but I guess, you know, since you're an expert, what do you have to say?
Well, it's interesting the way in which President Obama is able to bookend this narrative. Remember, everything that was bad 2 and 3 years into his presidency was still left over from President Bush. And now everything good in the presidency following him was from him. So he really gets the best of all worlds on the front end and back end. But I think, first of all, I will say that in the most nonpartisan or bipartisan sense possible, all presidents do get too much credit and too much blame for things in the economy. Like, we're both free market guys, and to be totally truthful, free market forces are a lot bigger than whatever one man, let alone even what a whole government can do in Washington, D.C. But that said, there's a particular glaring difference here. The unemployment rates have been dropping at the end of Obama's presidency. They've dropped further, but wages were not increasing throughout the Obama presidency. They are now. The labor participation force was continuing to decline under the Obama years. You had a 700% increase in people taking disability insurance. I write about that in the book because I happen to not believe that back pain became that much more systemic. So you have all these.
Well, wait, that gets to the thesis of your book. In other words, people are gaming the system.
Yes.
Because once again, they see money and they say, I can get it legally. Who do I need to talk to? What doctor do I need to get to sign off on this? And then because I have back pain, I can get a big payday. Whereas in the past, people who have had the pride and said, I'm not going to do that. I'm a man. That's I can right. still work. I can still do things.
That's right. And so people lost that pride, and then our society lost that judgmentalism that I think is needed. It's one of the rare times you say judgmental is a positive thing.
Yeah.
But throughout the Obama economy, the thing that kept GDP growth below 2% for the first time since World War II, coming out of a recession. I mean, this was the worst post-war recovery we had had. And I'm being very objective here. Like right now what I'm saying—
Under Obama.
Under Obama. You could pretend everything I'm saying so far that you don't know that I'm actually a Reaganite free market guy. The fact of the matter is that we normally have 4.5, 5% real GDP growth after inflation. That's how much the economy is growing per year coming out of a recession. And we never even got above 2%. We stayed somewhere around 1.5 to 2 throughout those years. And considering the depths of how bad the Great Recession was, it should have been really explosive. Now, is someone ever going to get 5, 6, 7% like Reagan did? Maybe not. The gravity, you know, of moving from a 60% top tax rate to 28, that was really powerful what President Reagan got to do. But my point is that you had very weak GDP growth out the Obama years, and the thing that was holding it back was a complete and total lack of business investment. In the GDP formula, they call it non-residential fixed investment.
Okay, and the reason for that lack of business investment under Obama was?
I believe that Business America decided that they did not have confidence in the direction of the country, that the regulatory burden and the tax burden of one of the top corporate tax rates in the world was holding them back. So you had a consumer that was deregulating after the financial crisis, getting their balance sheets more healthy. We right now have the lowest debt to household wealth ratio for consumers that we've had in over 40 years.
That's so, a big, wait a minute. I've not heard that. That's
oh, absolutely.
Big. Say that again. That's big.
Debt to household net worth is the lowest it's been in 40 years.
Under Trump. This is stunning.
Now, then you look at corporate America that had not invested in capital goods, durable goods, new factories, new plants, new technologies. It was very muted business investment. It exploded in Q1 of this year, Q2 of this year. Now, what happened coming into this year that could possibly explain that? Well, of course, corporate tax reform. It was headed up at the end of last year, too. Deregulation, the promise of corporate tax reform. It was more muted in this most recent quarter, and I do blame the trade war on that to some degree. But my point is, that's one of the great differences that President Trump can empirically, objectively take credit for, and that President Obama knows was lacking in his administration.
And don't you think that most Americans already know this? In other words, they don't need to hear us talk about it. Most Americans, yeah. I think, instinctively, you don't think so?
I think there's three categories, and I think you're right about one of them. So I think there's one category that as long as you say Trump's bad and Obama's good, they'll believe what we say.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your average American that just knows that where Obama was coming from and where the economy was under him, yeah, and the things that he said, it's pretty obvious that what's happening now has nothing to do with Obama.
I think that's very true.
It's laughable. I think that when I say your average American, I'm not talking about somebody who loves Trump any more than I'm talking about somebody who hates Trump. I'm just talking about somebody who knows enough about the way things
instinctively
work to say that when you get rid of regulations and get rid of taxes and you're pro-business, stuff happens. And what's been happening has been astounding. I mean, it's not just that things are better. It's remarkable. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to be going to another break. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking to David Bahnsen. The book is Crisis of Responsibility. Stick around.
Just a closer walk with me.
Just a closer walk. Just a closer walk with me.
Granted, Jesus.
Hey, Albin.
Hey, yeah.
Can I tell you about Relief Factor?
Oh, please do. Please.
No, I'm asking you, can I?
Oh, yeah, you may.
You mean I may?
You have permission.
But I tell you what.
What?
We've got somebody else who's going to talk about Relief Factor. Let's hear from her first. Her name is Sue. Here it is.
I have suffered with pain up and down my leg for 30 years, and it comes from working out. I was desperate, and I needed to find something that would help that pain. When I heard about the Quick Start program, I ordered it, and amazingly, it helped. I was pain-free.
Okay. Yeah. That's Sue, right?
Yeah.
Now, I was just with my relatives down in Atlanta for a wedding, and I was basically saying the same thing to them.
Wow.
I said, look, I advertise this thing on my program. It's called Relief Factor, okay? And some of them, they've got aches and pain. I said, trust me. The Quick Start Pack, $19.95, you get more than 3 weeks' worth. If you do it, you'll know in 3 weeks. Do it, please. I'm begging you. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
Are you a timeshare owner that would like to get out of your timeshare the right way? Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. Getting out of your timeshare is probably at the top of your to-do list for 2018. Now is the time to make the call to simplify your life. We have an excellent track record and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. So if you want to get rid of those high maintenance fees and annual bills for vacations you never take, call 844-284-4863 or visit us online at LoneStarTransfer.com. That's 844-284-4863. For over a decade, we have been working in timeshare owner advocacy to help those stuck in timeshares. Let us help you with a legal and ethical solution. Call us today for a private, no-obligation consultation. We will give you a solution that will get you out of your timeshare once and for all. Call 844-284-4863 or LoneStarTransfer.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Everybody's doing it, and everybody's making money at it, except you. You're losing holiday business to your online competitors, and you don't know how to get in the game. Talk to us at Salem Surround, digital marketing experts who offer a free analysis of your digital marketing effectiveness, even if you have none, and suggest methods that could dramatically increase your sales coming out of this season. We can design and implement all of your online marketing under one roof, give you monthly reports on results, and instantly move your dollars to the most effective areas of your online advertising and sales. Social marketing, geofencing, web search enhancement, event targeting, and more. Now, there are no limitations on where you can reach customers with Salem Surround, increasing sales dramatically. Learn more by logging on to SalemSurround.com. That's SalemSurround.com, connecting you with new customers.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of conservatives winning the war on issues like gun rights, religious liberty, immigration law, and the sanctity of life. We use our cell phones every single day, so why not use them to make a change? Patriot Mobile does just that. They exist to donate a portion of your monthly bill to 17 conservative organizations fighting for your beliefs. And for the entire month of November, you can buy one line and get another line free for 12 months. Every day, people are switching their cell phone service to Patriot Mobile, and they love knowing their cell phone company supports conservative causes they believe in. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. You can keep your number, get the same super reliable nationwide service, and feel good about funding the right agendas with every call you make. With unlimited plans starting as low as $20 per month, why wait? Visit them online at patriotmobile.com or call them at 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile. Come join the family.
If you change your mind,
take a chance
on the first in line.
Take a chance, take a chance,
honey,
take a chance,
free.
Take a chance,
take a chance on me.
Take a chance, take a chance,
if you need me, let me know.
Take a chance,
chance,
take a chance, take a chance.
If you got no place to go,
take a chance, take a chance, take a chance, take a chance, chance, take a chance, take a chance.
If you're all alone.
Take a chance on me, baby. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Hey, before we get to talking about trade tariffs, I know you're dying to hear about trade tariffs because we're going to have a real conversation on that. I want to tell you about the good, the true, and the beautiful. How do you understand those ideas, those noble ideas? Well, I would say it starts with the right kind of education. Kind of tough to find that these days, but I do know of one college that provides a comprehensive education of the best kind, an education in the philosophical, political, theological, scientific, and literary heritage of the West. You know I'm talking about Hillsdale College. Every student at Hillsdale, regardless of their major, think of that, spends half their time on the same liberal arts core curriculum, studying science, theology, history, mathematics, philosophy, literature, and the Constitution. Remember the Constitution? At Hillsdale, all students learn about our great Western and American heritage. The result is that Hillsdale alumni are leaders with intelligence and character, making a difference in their families, communities, and country. But it all starts with a core curriculum that develops moral and intellectual virtue, the core that helps them understand the good, the true, and the beautiful. That's the Hillsdale core curriculum, learning for the long run. So you can discover more about it at metaxasforhillsdale.com. That's the website, metaxasforhillsdale.com. Now we're going to talk about tariffs. I happily confess I know little about how that all works, but we have David Bahnsen, an expert as far as I'm concerned. Certainly, compared to me, you're a hyper expert on this stuff. What do you think is going on? Trump, he gets very, very mixed reviews on how he's been approaching the Chinese and this kind of thing. People talk about the threat of a trade war, but he does sometimes seem, to be crazy like a fox, that he has these instincts. I think it was Walter Russell Mead was praising him along these lines in the Wall Street Journal not too long ago. There's a lot of disagreement from the experts. So what is your take on his approach with this?
I wish I knew better how much of some of these things that work out are intentional and are part of that kind of crazy like a fox narrative you're describing. Because it is a great question around some of the things that will bring a guy like me concern.
Right.
And if I sort of had this path to, okay, he's moving some chess pieces and so forth, I think sometimes some of his most ardent supporters take it to an extreme where it becomes a little bit unbelievable. But on the trade stuff, I am the first to say I am a free trader. I am not a protectionist. I am deeply sympathetic to his economic advisors, Larry Kudlow and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, big fan of the aforementioned Art Laffer, Stephen Moore. I take their side on this subject, and I am very, very critical of his advisors, guys like Pete Navarro and formerly Steve Bannon, on this subject. However, the Trump administration, with the Mexico deal, the Canada deal, and the European Union deal, has more or less come through on what they said. They were posturing, they were negotiating, they were flexing, they were maneuvering towards a better deal. I don't think they were dramatically and paradigmatically better, but they were on the margin, better deals, and he didn't collapse the global economy by negotiating. I do fear that the China thing is different, that there's more than just a transactional relationship at play, that there is, you know, hemispheric disagreement about this relationship. And there are folks, and I don't know if the president's one of them, I know Steve Bannon is, that do not believe American corporate interests belong in China.
Well, let me ask you, I think that there's a lot of confusion when people talk about free trade and the free market. To my mind, that really only ought to exist purely within a sovereign nation. Once you go beyond that, it's a different conversation. You can never talk about free trade and no trade borders when you're talking about countries that have no freedom, no human rights. They dissect prisoners. They have no respect for life. They have no respect for religious liberty. Why ought I to put my company in play with somebody like China that's supporting a wicked regime in North Korea? In other words, why do I want to get that's the definition of dirty money? And well, ought we not to be thinking about that? Or does it all become about Wall Street and the bottom line and the growth, you know, this quarter? I mean, that to me is the lack of virtue in trade.
Yeah. And so I would definitely agree that there is a moral requirement in how businesses conduct themselves. And I believe that one of the great advantages to what has happened in China over the last 25 years is a slow and altogether inadequate migration from the hard state-owned enterprises of Mao Zedong into this odd hybrid of democratic communism, whatever that term means, market statism, whatever that term means. But here's the fact of the matter is, and you implicitly get to it. Countries do not trade with countries. It's fallacious at its core. We don't trade with China. We have businesses that trade with businesses there. And so at the end of the day, we're not talking about how China and the U.S. treat each other. We're talking about two free actors with what we believe is a meritorious free exchange deciding if they want to do commerce or not.
But do they have that right? In other words, we've just said, you know, if you trade with Iran, you're going to pay a price. You want to trade with America, you want to trade with Iran. They're despicable. And so if you are so concerned about the almighty buck that you don't care about these other things, you're going
to
pay a price.
Well, but there's two responses to that. I think that President Reagan really proved very effectively how wonderful it was to demonstrate to Eastern Bloc communist countries what Western-style capitalism looked like. It helped bring down Marxism and collective economics. And we've seen it in South America. We've seen it basically this great miracle of the last 50 years as global poverty has come down, has come because of global free trade, sometimes even with countries that had bad people at top but good people at bottom. But the other piece to it is Iran is a country we've sanctioned from trading with. China's not. So if what we're talking about is we're not going to trade with China, you know, there will be a global depression.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is I don't mean to say that we shouldn't trade with them at all or that companies shouldn't, but we have to have – there is a moral aspect to it. When a company says, hey, I can make a widget for this much less, so who cares about keeping things in America? I can do it in China. And yeah, they're doing it with people that are, you know, they're working 14 hours and they're getting no money. But who cares about those people? We got to go to a break. We'll continue the conversation in just a second, talking to David Bontz, and the book is Crisis of Responsibility.
With the full moon in my eye.
You've wrestled with that issue for so long. You don't know who to talk to. You're too embarrassed to tell your friends or family what you're dealing with. You're even reluctant to talk to your pastor. I know, I was there too. But it got to a point that something had to change. And then I found Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who share your faith and will help you through your problem. They want to give you a free week just to try it out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready by text or phone, even video conferencing, from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Why not give it a try? Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. Talk to someone who can help. Go right now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Let them help. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Federal Reserve Board Chairman Jerome Powell says the economy is doing well and the pace of interest rate hikes depends on the data.
Powell told the Economic Club of New York the reforms undertaken since the collapse have left the U.S. economy better able to handle shocks than before. There are warning signals. Corporate debt has grown more than is ideal, but he said the Fed's assessment of financial stability is like a good health report.
Many baby boomers like me, however, are reaching an age where a good report is, well, there are a number of things we should keep an eye on. But all things considered, you're in good health.
Powell defended the Fed's policy of gradually raising interest rates to normal levels, but he also hinted the next round of rate increases is not exactly a sure thing. The chairman said there is no preset policy path. Warren Levinson, New York.
On Wall Street near the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average right now up by 608 points, 25,356. The NASDAQ up by 207. This is SRN News.
This is Michael Medved. I'm here with Mike Stahl from Health Markets, helping folks find the right Medicare coverage. The news reports say that the rates might be going down.
The government projects the cost of Medicare plans will decrease this year. So you have to ask yourself, are you getting the best rate? Health Markets offers a free service with access to thousands of Medicare plans nationwide to help folks maximize their benefits and save money.
What is it people need to keep in mind?
Enrollment in the right plan is not automatic. With so many Medicare options, it can be confusing. My advice? Don't go it alone. Get unbiased help to find a plan that may cost less and cover more with lower co-payments, more choices like dental and vision, and the freedom to choose your doctor. doctors. With the enrollment deadline only weeks away, it's important to act now. Our Health Markets Medicare assistance is free.
Thanks, Mike. This is Michael Medved for Health Markets.
For your free Medicare assistance, call 800-246-3290. That's 800-246-3290. 800-246-3290.
Then I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. There was a band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low,
swing low,
sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking about free trade, with apologies to Johnny Cash. David, I was just saying that there's a moral component. It's inescapable. So when we're doing business with, let's say, China, I fear that it's nothing other than greed that says, we're going to look the other way when they treat their people like guinea pigs or do ever what they want to do. I know the argument, of course, that if you bring free trade to some place where there is no free trade, some other Western values will leak in. This is the idea. But we don't believe that the free market solves all problems. You need virtue. You need courage. You need these kinds of things. So isn't that part of the equation with even with China?
It has to be. But I also think we need to make the full empirical case. And I'm going to ask him like the rhetorical questions, but I really know the answer. Is the quality of life for the people that have been mistreated in China better or worse since so much Western production began going there? It's exponentially better. A lot of the leftist heat against Nike and their low-cost labor in Vietnam over the years, there was a big study done, and they said, well, there's one economic group that is not in any way piling on Nike, and that is the Vietnamese workers that were living off of 10 cents a day and have seen their quality of life go higher. On a moral basis, there is absolutely no excuse for companies not taking care of their people. But I do believe, and I am so afraid of boring your listeners with economics, but we have to understand, Eric, that all bad economics comes from an inability to look at the second and third effects of what we're doing. There are benefits that help people morally by us expanding the trade pie. This comes back to Adam Smith, 1776 stuff.
Yeah.
In the case with China, there is a massive increase in how they treat laborers now. The case that Trump and Bannon have made against all the trade with China has not centered around quality of life for Chinese workers. It is centered around what it has done to American workers. And so they've actually made a very different argument than the one you're bringing up today. I'm much more sympathetic to the world of human rights and that subject geopolitically. We don't make that argument in the United States because the fact of the matter is there's a few other bad countries on the list. Saudi Arabia has come up a little recently, right? It would be very possible for us to eliminate all bad actors, but their argument centers on how it's treated American actors, American workers. I believe there's legitimacy there. I write about it in the book. We need a more dynamic labor force in our country. But we can't forget the consumer either. Those who have had the cost of their goods and services go down. That's not Wall Street. That's not corporate America. That's not profits. That's a middle class or lower middle class person able to go to Walmart and get a good service at a cheaper price than they could 25 years ago. Nobody can say with a straight face free trade hasn't helped enable that.
Well, see, that's why I wanted you here, because it's very important for me, at least, and I hope my audience, to understand these dynamics. I think when you're talking about kind of nationalistic populism of the Bannon variety, I think sometimes part of that is rhetoric, and then part of that kind of backs into some of the conversations we're having about virtue, and it's always the question is what's really going on. We're out of time. David, would like to have you back as soon as possible. Thanks for being my guest.
Thanks for having me.
Folks, get a copy of Crisis of Responsibility. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.